ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ।
ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ।
ਫਤਿਹ ਜੀ, ਫਤਿਹ। ਸੋ ਹਾਊ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਫ ਸੋ ਫਾਰ ਇਨ ਪੰਜਾਬ? ਹਾਊ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਅਮਾਉਂਟ ਆਫ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਕਲ ਥਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਪੰਜਾਬ?
The same it was 10 decades ago, minimum.
I just finished watching a video, make a video the key, and there's a young boy who's doing stunts on a tractor. Gets off from the tractor while the front wheels are lifted up, and then suddenly the tractor goes out of control. Kid tries stopping it, gets run down, gets killed, barely saves these other two, and there are people complaining underneath that, you know, they should be stopped by the government. I mean, these stupid stunts, like, you know, there is a Shabad of Guru Nanak which literally informs us, don't play stupid games to win stupid prizes. Isi kalana khediye jit darge jaiye haar, darga being this world, obviously. And there are people commenting underneath, Sikhs saying that you know, to recount, teri pen edman, teri manu edman, teri ma chak deni, teri pen chak deni. Who the hell do you think you are to get us to stop this? You must be a RSS agent, you must be a Hindu. Fuck you, fuck this, blah 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 blah. I mean, I really don't understand how suddenly common sense has become the grounds for you to start accusing of, you know, accusing people of not supporting your toilet paper referendum in the first place.
It's not sudden, man. This thing has always been present here. If you read those comments, well, it's just one video, and there are probably 2,000 others. If somebody slips and falls in their own bath here in Punjab, they'll probably blame the government.
I've noticed this tendency with Punjabis quite a lot. I've noticed this over time. I mean, the generation we grew up in, we had, look, there was this critical aspect where I suppose the families who focused on critical thinking, they educated their kids to have critical thinking, right? I mean, this was one of Guru Nanak's foundations of Sikhi. The Sikh would always be a critical thinker. You know, they would, I think it was Kavi Kanka who's recorded Guru Gobind Singh Ji saying that even if someone was able to make a wall dance, the Sikh would always critically think about it, you know. And I mean, if you see it now, all this Deravadi, these Pentecostal Christians coming into Punjab, I mean, all this regression of society, somehow or the other, you can see that the Fukrapana, which Punjabi youth have, it's literally filling up a vacuum, but it's also making another vacuum where all this cultural atrophy is coming in. I mean, let me recount a personal experience from a few weeks ago. As everyone knows, recently Western countries have been hit with an influx of extra migrants who have arrived because these countries ease their visa restrictions post-COVID. Dodgy agents in India took advantage of this. Now people have spent a lot of money coming here to find out that the jobs they came for do not exist in the first place, right? Have you heard that?
Yep.
And so the situation in Australia, New Zealand, and as far as I can understand, Scotland is that the government is actually giving these people, even though they're temporary immigrants, welfare to get them through this hard time. And one of these local news, Indian media, they just had a, well, you know, look, I'm not saying that I'm picking on them, but it was a Monna Punjabi, right? And he was saying that these people need to be deported, right? They need to be sent back to India. So I clicked on his Facebook link out of interest. And on there, I see all these posts of there is a continuing genocide in India. We need a Khalistan. Sant Jarnail Singh Ji Khalsa, Pindranwala Jindabad, Deep Sidhu Amar Rahe. There is oppression in Punjab. The world needs to wake up. And then I asked him something. I was like, you know, Virji, I talked with respect. Is there oppression in Punjab? And he's like, yeah. Is there genocide in Punjab? And he's like, yeah. And then I asked him, so Deep Sidhu confirmed this? And he's like, yeah. And then I asked him, so why are you arguing that the Punjabi immigrants among all these, you know, poor bastards who have actually come here and been defrauded, why are you arguing for them to be sent back right into the midst of this genocide that you claim is going on? And I was treated to the most spectacular of accusations. I mean, did you know that I'm an RSS agent?
Well, of course, we are both, man.
Damn, no one told me I was apparently like a RSS agent. I was a Zionist. He was also involved in Operation Blue Star. I don't know where he got that from. I'm not the man Deep Sidhu was, and I wouldn't want to be the man Deep Sidhu was, you know, in the first place. I mean, don't get me started on there. But, you know, it's
Well,
like...
you could have known this when they sent you a Safran Curl private jet for you to fly to America.
It's the bread and circuses things that you choose a celebrity and you build him up and people end up following him and making the same mistakes that they made 20, 40 years ago. But if people are really dumb enough to fall for it, what can you do about it?
Okay, let me say that very, very clearly. If you are spending 2, 3, 4 million Indian on a visa to go to any Western country, are you really oppressed? Bro, I live in UP. If I was oppressed, I should be dead by now.
I think the thing is, they're taking this thing too far, right? They haven't understood how they're oppressed or why they're oppressed. I mean, one thing we have been talking about is that the, you know, Khalistan movement needs a re-intellectual, like, you know, a reorientation of its intellectualism. Now it's just been kidnapped by leftists with whatever, you know, latest white guilt trend takes their fancy. I mean, if you look at the Babbar Akalis who proposed Khalistan, they were one of the many factions who did. They had like this intellectualism based in the theocracy of the Guru Granth Sahib and the meritocracy of the Guru Granth Sahib, right? You had the All India Sikh Student Federation, the first iteration. So you had all this intellectual outpouring about what a separate Sikh state should look like based on what they understood British oppression to be like. What we have now is that it's, I mean, all I'm seeing is pure fukrapana, if that is understandable. Fukrapana being this, you know, false sense of machoism, like, oh, we are something. And then they come abroad and realize, well, wait a second, we are nothing. And it's intriguing to me that this dumbing down has emerged at a time when Sikhs are struggling. You can see the regression of Sikh prachar and this focus on Punjabiyat going up. But what sort of a focus is it on Punjabiyat? What do Punjabis do now? You know what the most conspicuous element of this newfound Punjabi culture is?
Probably Bhaijara.
Nah, well, I mean, Bhaijara is one of the many stupid things they believe in. It's music, right? The Punjabi music. Yeah. Have you noticed that after 1990, when Beyond Singh came in power, all the Kanjarpana started on in Punjabi music?
Well, it was present even before that, but afterwards it was like flood.
Yeah, we produced the atrocity called Yo Yo Honey Singh. And then what, like all this Punjabi music, like if you look at it from the start, right? In the 80s, we had the whole Karku Leher, right? Every time historically a militant movement gets defeated or destroyed, it's not exactly destroyed individual on an individual basis. Most of the survivors relapse into common crime. We saw that happen with the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan. We have seen it happen worldwide. They just become criminals. Our lot went straight into gangster pana, teriya sir paar duje tu meri jameen di phad ta, the all that sort of rubbish. And that was popularized in Punjabi culture by Beyant Singh and company politically. From there on, the fact that Punjabis do not unfortunately value higher education, that sort of played a even more insidious part in exacerbating this cultural decline further. From there, like in the Pind, what happened was, like, if you look at the Pind, most of these movies, I think it was in the 90s, Gugu Gill released Truck Driver, am I right?
Not sure about the date.
Yeah, but, you know, from there on, you could see that the whole Punjabi industry became more about the rebel, but it wasn't a commonsensical rebel, like, you know, the gurus were rebels. This was the rebel against society, against civilization, against religion. And all this was subtly put into Punjabi minds until suddenly what happened is when they go abroad, right? Now, here's the common thing about this Punjabi rebel portrayed in the media. He's not a rebel per se. He's not an empowered rebel. He is a victim, right?
Yeah, I think that's the prerequisite.
Right? So all he does, all he ever does, I mean, okay, you remember when Sunny Deol released Guile, the first one?
Bro, I don't watch many movies. I think you're watching them on a binge or something.
No, well, I mean, what I remember is when that movie came out, they had a bit of an outcry because, he is a Punjabi. And they had this movie where a guy's family gets killed by the system and he picks up the gun and goes on a shooting rampage. Now, who does it remind you of straight away? You know what's happening in Punjab in the 90s? And there was an accusation that they're popularizing too much of the militancy as well. But one of the most common criticisms leveled against him at the time was that, you had this, like, it was a good, like, at that time it made a lot of money, right? It was a good movie. But there was one thing people hated about it was this constant refrain that the protagonist is a victim, right? There was no character development because he was always a victim at the end of the day, right? Everything was excusable because he was a victim. People expected this part at the end where they would have said something along the lines of, okay, I did bad to do the ultimate good for society by killing the people who killed my family, and they would have destroyed more families. But no, he just had this like victimhood menace, and people were celebrating him for his victimhood. And that sort of seeped into Punjabi culture today, where most of the youth think that just because they have this sense of grievance or a victimhood, they can be excused for whatever stupidity they get up to.
True, 100% true, and that's been my observation. The issue is like, okay, I grew up in Punjab anyhow, yeah.
Yep.
So the level of education around me, the people who were like 5, 10 years older than me, they went to college and universities, never completed any degrees. I would say probably one in 10 did. Most of them, their life plan was, I'll either go west by legal or illegal means, or I'll just get married to somebody and then move out of India. And that seemed to be the same life plan that a lot of kids today have.
Okay, look, one thing I want to ask is if you look at the if you look at the 80s, because the 80s play a spectacular part here. Some might argue that the 80s were the start of this whole issue we're having now. Back in the 80s, we had like people like I think Bhai Sukhkar Jindal, one of them was highly educated. We had Bhai Harmandir Singh Sandhu, who was highly educated. Inderjeet Singh Jaggi, in his book Politics of Genocides, describes how most of the leading militants at the time, at least the first crop, were always highly educated. They were quite refined, had degrees. So, were they the exception or were they the norm at that time?
Exception, no doubt, exception.
So, really, you're saying that from the onset, we always had exceptions leading us rather than the norm. Is that why our leadership pool is always so small?
Yeah, okay, you could say that, but think about it. The year is, let's say, 1975, yeah?
Right.
The so-called green revolution is going on. There was an incentive to leave your studies and go back to farming. Because now you were getting more crops, better agricultural equipment, higher yield varieties were coming in. So you had an incentive to work hard in your own farm and not go to a university or something. And that thing continued.
So, okay, when we talk about today, though, because if we talk about this briefly, see, here is one of the things we have to remember. There is a Shabad in Gurbani by Guru Tegh Bahadur. Chinta ta ki kijiye jo anhoni hoy. Why worry? Let the unforeseen happen, right? And it doesn't mean you just give up on life and you're like, you know what, screw it, let the unknown happen or the untoward hope happen. Basically, what the guru is saying that if you're confident in your ability and your enlightenment, that of course you're always going to be able to rapidly adapt and see to the problems of life without having to pray or think God is testing you or anything. It's like saying that oh, your past karma means you got raped now, or saying that God wants to test you so he allowed you to be raped. Either way you look at it, it's pretty shit. And what the guru is saying, it's nothing like that. You're just going to focus on what you have in life and go from there. So here is where there is this question of adaptability. Sikhs were always able to adapt. If they were able to adapt to living as the rulers of Sirhind, they were also ready to adapt to the fact that they now had to live in the Lucky Jungle, right? Around the Nawab Kapoor Singh era. So when we come down now, obviously, to the 20th century, where did the spirit of adaptability go? Why weren't they able to discern, like even now, like looking at the fact that, families had seven sons, all the land got divided up, there isn't enough for their grandchildren. So why was there no incentive to plan ahead and foresee what was about to happen, what was just around the corner?
Okay, let's say you think about the time after 1880s when
Right.
Sikhi became finally coming back into the scene. Yeah,
Yep.
so slowly and slowly people were converting to Sikhi, and that continued. Well, it continues even today, but at a very slow pace.
Yep.
In those
Okay.
times, you either could do two things. You could be a laborer, be a farmer, or you could join the army. Yeah,
Yep.
so a lot of people joined the army. They converted to Sikhi, joined the army. That was the British policy at that time. It worked for them. Yeah, people
Yep.
got large grants of land.
Yep.
We all know where your family comes from, where my family comes from.
Right.
So in this way, farming has always been ingrained in our culture. It's part of our identity. It's very, very hard to move out of that. Let me give you one example.
Right.
In India, the highest number of civil servants come from Bihar, one of the poorest states. Why is that?
But that's been going on for centuries, hasn't it?
Well, since after the independence, yes.
Okay, so you're saying that could there be a political angle to this that these people should be pushed into these sorts of occupations? But then I suppose one thing you've got to wonder is that have the people of Punjab ever wanted that change, or has it been that they didn't know how to obtain that change? Like, one thing you got to remember down here, and this is also something the gurus were emphatic about, is you don't rely on others, right? You rely on yourself. And if you're relying on yourself, then what happened to our society that they were never able to discern these rapidly upcoming changes and prepare for them accordingly? And what we have now is all this fucker up on our culture where all these kids are really trying to celebrate a past glory that was ephemeral in the first place.
If you are a person who believes more in the muscle power than your brain power, what are you going to do?
So, are you saying that Punjab today in general does not value brain power?
We don't. Sadly, we don't. You go to the villages, yeah? It's a
Yep.
very popular thing. You might have heard of it. They say that ज़्यादा पढ़ लिख के दिमाग खराब हो जाता. That's what they say.
Yeah, there is that saying. I was told that one day a jet asked a educated city man, "Babuji, pade likhe ho?" And the Babuji replied back, "Emi sade phuke hai." Right. So why? Why do they actually believe that?
It's a matter of research, I would say. And also, I would ask you, if you know, then you know that how many of your cousins, your friends, or your relatives have actually passed universities or passed out with, let's say, higher grades, maybe A grades or above 80%. How many?
I mean, other than four of us, maybe not the others.
In the rural parts of the state, but this person is very low.
So even if you get something like 50%, they're going to treat you like you're God for a day or something.
Yeah, you passed, that's good enough.
So what is this? I mean, okay, if you look at it, like one thing that needs to be said down here is sheer brain power. Well, okay, the rejection of sheer brain power netted us massive losses during the Anglo-Sikh Wars, right? Muscle power was finally outdone by the British. Hate it or love it.
Well,
And
that's what happened here.
yep, and then we had the Singh Sabha Lahore come up, and it built, Khalsa College. It made such a massive effort to restore education to our people, so at least we would play a premier part in our own autonomy. We were only able to throw up a, you know, recalcitrant school teacher turned leader, Master Tara Singh, against two Oxford educated barristers, right?
I think we have discussed this point that from the Hindu side, you had Nehru and Gandhi. From the Muslim side, you had Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And from our side, we had a guy who was wearing swords, allegedly. We couldn't feel any people, or not even two or three, who were highly educated, who understood the reality. We failed to do it.
I mean, one of the discussions we had in the Facebook group was that, you know, Sardar Kapoor Singh says in Sachi Sakhi that he went and met Sardar Bahadur Shivdev Singh in the UK. And Shivdev Singh actually wrote that Shabad on a piece of paper to the Akalis in India, Aisi Kalana Khediye Jad Darge Jaiye Har. And the Akalis replied back to him that, you know, we have been doing so many morchi against the British. Do you really want us to blacken our faces by going and trying to talk with them now about, you know, a potential Sikh state? And Sardar Shivdev Singh wrote back, well, you know, the British, the Hindus and the Muslims have been doing worse than you. They're talking about it, so why not you? And the Akalis came back with, yeah, well, what will history say about us? And that's what I've been thinking. Like, history calls them the worst of scumbags nowadays, you know. I know many people who have been abroad for so long, they want to go back to India so badly, but they can't, that every waking day they swear at Master Tara Singh in the worst way possible, and every sleeping hour they swear at Master Tara Singh in the worst way possible. I mean, a historian always looks to relate history and never criticize the past, but strategists, they always criticize the past. And I think Master Tara Singh probably gets the worst of the abuse among Sikhs.
I'm not too sure if Master Tara Singh positions himself to be a Sikh leader, or he was put forward because there was nobody else.
I think it's a mixture of both, because, I mean, here's the thing. If the people choose idiots, then who do you really have to blame?
The people.
Right. I mean, the thing is that you need to understand that since the start, see, there is a term used in Gurbani, Jag, and it also translates to masses. Jag Bikari, Jag like this, Jag like. And I think that, you know, Guru Nanak in Gurbani, they're referring to the masses. You need to realize that stupidity in small numbers is hard to control, but stupidity in larger numbers is impossible to control. I mean, that's an observant fact from the start. And every Sikh leader you see after Guru Gobind Singh Ji has sort of manipulated people's emotions to keep them in touch, keep them in line. But you can see that even someone like Nawab Kapoor Singh never trusted the Sikh masses. He never trusted them. That's why he just took care of all those 600 sardars and made them into 11 missiles to keep them, you know, closer to himself. And I think from the start, you need to understand is that when our people sit down at the table and say, Sanu Ekta Chahiye, we require unity, it's not going to happen. You're asking for too much. The Sikhs will never have the unity that we are envisioning. In fact, all of the three greatest Sikh leaders we have, Baba Banda Singh, Nawab Kapoor Singh, Maharaja Ranjit Singh, they manipulated the Sikh masses for their own good.
Do you want unity, or do you want uniformity?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Can you please elaborate on that further, please?
Unity is that we, let's say, all the stakeholders, they unite for a common cause and they believe in that cause, yeah? Even though they have their own differences.
Yep.
But uniformity is that you and I should be exactly on the same page, and then only we can move forward. That you need to believe what I believe.
And that is a very crucial distinction, because I think in that respect, then the Sikhs had unity, but it wasn't uniformity. Is that what you're saying?
No, I believe they put more emphasis on uniformity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
Okay, let me give an example.
There is a panchayat election in the village, yeah?
Right.
So can you reach across the aisle and say to the people of the other party or the other faction that we need to have, let's say, we need to improve the water supply for the village, yeah?
Okay, yep.
So let's forget about our internal differences. Let's go to our local MLA or MP and get it sorted. That's unity.
Right.
Uniformity is that those people are not from our party. If you switch to our sides, we are willing to support you to go to the MLA or MP.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that these two have been confused by our people?
Bro, if you are not worshipping the same Sant Baba, people won't marry the children to you.
So that's something seeable as well. And I mean, I think one of the things you need to notice is that after the 80s, since the start of this, you know, cultural regression, you can see that this unity and uniformity aspect, these are just being paid lip services by our leaders, aren't they? Like, they just pay lip service and let people do whatever stupid thing they want to do in the first place.
Well, they all have been. You can only become a big leader if you know how to manipulate people. That's a given.
Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, I think one thing you need to remember is that the people, like, you know, Osho says, democracy is for the people, by the people, for the people, but the people are retarded. I think that's what we're actually confronting down here, because let's face it, I mean, we have so many horror stories of people going back to their village, doing these mini karvapsis to try initiating a new project, but everyone turns against them. And, you know, back in the day, how in South Africa, there used to be this allegation that, hey, this person is involved in an interracial relationship and they used to get lynched.
Yeah, happened in many countries as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All you got to say now is that this person is a closeted Hindu. He's with the RSS, and watch them lynch you straight away.
That will happen, unfortunately.
People's emotions have become so high that they can't really perceive reality. I mean, one of the amazing things down here is, if you know the history of Buddhism, even though they managed to get an independent state from the Hindus, the cultural similarities were so much that in a few centuries, that state basically relapsed back into Hinduism straight away, for the worse. And if you see what we are doing now, okay, right, first thing first is, how many of these neo-Khalistanis running around? Because they form a very crucial aspect. Most of them are part of these Fukrepana gangs. How many of them do you think realize that the flags they're tearing down every morning, right, every protest, those flags are always part of the internal compound under heavy lock and key, but just before they're about to protest, those flags are deliberately placed outside with cameras placed on the flags and them live streaming to India?
Well, I think they are taking capture the flag game way too seriously.
And how many of them do you think have any viable contours for what that state is going to look like?
Not many. Okay. A simple question to you and the listeners. How do you comprehend reality? How do you figure out what's happening today and what needs to be done today to ensure a better tomorrow?
Self-reflection?
That's a part of it.
Critical thinking?
Yep.
What was that Tristan Tate said? This is not an endorsement, but what was it? Not being a fake gaysick? Was that what he said?
Something along those lines, yeah. It was not an insult, it was a description.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a royal right adjective, I suppose, but then later I found out that the guy works in mental health in the first place, so I mean, yeah, there you go. He's the one telling people to kill themselves, but he works in mental health, but anyhow, if it's not what Tristan Tate said, what is it then?
Oh, many more things. Okay. The very first thing that any person, doesn't matter who you are, you got to keep it under control is your own hubris. that I'm way too good, that I'm already what I want to be.
Right.
Bro, unfortunately, our people have been living in the past. And to be quite honest, I don't think there is much in the past 100 years to be really proud of.
You know, Sir Faisal Hussain, before the partition, released this little booklet. And in this booklet, it was a warning to the Sikhs as well. He said that the Hindus prepared decades, even centuries ahead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very strange, because if you consider it, it's the minorities who are always the well-prepared and not the majorities, if you think about it.
Yep.
Right? Historically, majorities have been ill-prepared, but then, okay, the Muslims think just in the nick of time, you know, how they can manipulate the situation. And the Sikhs, he said, unfortunately, are so drunk on their past glories of their forefathers that they themselves are not living up to, that they're yet to realize that no one cares about them once things are set into place. They can keep on crying all they want, but no one is about to care about it. And if you look at it, Guru Gobind Singh Ji was reassured by Bahadur Shah that, hey, Maharaj, I'll, you know, help you get retribution for the Sahib Jadis. But the Guru dissents straight away that he's given me nothing in writing. He's not pledging anything. You know what? Let's just cause havoc in Punjab, right? That let's just get retribution ourselves. Destroy the Muslim supremacy and that's it. Finish them off, right?
Yep.
You look at Baba Banda Singh Bahadur. He tells them they're swearing on the Quran and the Kaaba, but they're still going to kill us. We might as well make it expensive for them, right? Yeah. You need to remember something, that on the political level, the British had a treaty with Maharaja Ranjit Singh. We will never interfere in the affairs of Lahore if you don't interfere in our affairs, even if any of us are weak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look what eventually happened. So after all these, you know, incidents and lessons from history, if our idiots still fall for someone saying, hey, look, I'll give you this glow of sovereignty in a mini Punjab, and then they cry, well, he said that now times have changed. Well, who's the biggest idiot here, the man who manipulated you or you guys who allowed him to manipulate you?
Well, of course, if you allowed them to.
And that's a very interesting aspect of the situation down here, is that, hey, we did it. We don't deserve this, but we actually went ahead and gave our heads for it. You know, it's that whole stupidity coming along all the time as well.
Okay. Is it stupidity or is it something else?
I think the thing is, if you look at it, why can I help soldiers who surrendered, right? And not soldiers who didn't surrender. This was very different to what...
I think he did it just once.
Yep. This is different to the standard practice in the subcontinent. But look at how that's been changed and imposed on us to blind us, and the boomers are doing their pie chara. But we allowed it to happen, right?
We allowed that story to be hijacked.
Everyone knows Sher Khan, Nawab of Malerkotla, was a kanjar. But now one of his descendants died. And look at how it's the Sikhs who are crying more than the people at Malerkotla about it. For some reason, we allowed that part of history to be rewritten again.
Bro, okay, yeah. I was going to talk to you about it. Okay, thank you for bringing that up. How many of us know how exactly that person died?
I don't even think even 10% of the population would know that.
Why don't we know?
Bhai Chara.
Damn it, man.
But
one way.
You know, that story was imposed on us and we accepted it straight away, right? We accepted all these stories from all over the place. And what does that tell you about our collective IQ?
IQ, man. I don't believe we have much. It's like room temperature in Celsius.
See, here's something interesting. Dr. Man Singh Narankari, not the Narktarya, but the original Narankaris, he was their descendant. Back in the late 80s, around the I think the time of I think it was after the first Blue Star or the second the first Black Thunder. I think they got Barnala to the Akal Takht and tied him up and bet him. Do you remember that? And Dr. Man Singh wrote down that the prominent Jathebandis involved in this, their members were photographed alongside Barnala at that time, are all the reputable Sikh leaders leading the struggle, right? And the government of India has used that same picture, which these guys are using as evidence of their glory, of their power, worldwide to say, well, look what these terrorists are doing. Why do we end up walking into these traps set for us? Why do we let this braggadocio, this sense of, you know, what I'm saying is like, okay, those guys were in Fukre, but you know, when they got wounded up, like everyone is human, everyone is imperfect, they fell straight into traps. Why?
Because I think they were too bright to believe in the real world.
There's this finger that being, you know, obviously that sarcasm you're mentioning, but I think the other thing down here is that we forgot that our martial power, our prowess was always accompanied by a strong intellectual bent. If you think about it, the, you know, Banda Singh was two in one, an intellectual and a warrior. Then we had Bhai Mani Singh, who was an intellectual. We had Nawab Kapoor Singh, who had that intellectual capability. Even around Maharaja Ranjit Singh's time, you did have that intellectual capability among men like Hari Singh Nalwa, etc. But you see, now we're actually thinking we don't require that intellectual capability. And what happens is that once things blow over, who is going to sit down and start negotiating with the other side what we need and what we don't need?
Nobody. Nobody, man. Nobody.
All these mistakes of the past, we're going to see. You can say we won a moral victory, but moral victories never translate into territorial victories.
Bro, what good is a moral victory if I'm dead?
That's right. That's 100% right. And then you see that that's even further exacerbated when you bring in all this victimhood. This cry of intergenerational trauma that, hey, we are victims. Look at us. We're protesting alongside the Palestinians. Look, we are victims. Look at us. Look at our victimhood. I mean, the thing is, no one cares. Sikhs have only looked out for themselves, and that's how it has to be. But the thing is that all this massive victimhood, and you're saying that, hey, if you don't support Palestine, you can't support Khalistan, and that means you're doing performative solidarity. Okay, genius, when are you parachuting into Gaza or Punjab?
Well, there are people who say that the Khalsa should go to Kabul and reconquer it and free the Afghans from the Taliban oppression.
Oh, come on. I mean, you could see Deep Sidhu's social media. He was always praising the Taliban.
Oh, well, I didn't care about that much about what they say.
The point I'm trying to make is that our people in Punjab at least live in these delusional fantasies where, you know, having guns and, you know, acting all tough is somehow, you know, going to net them a different state or people are scared of them when you realize that. Unfortunately, the blue collar jobs they end up in really don't matter with automation coming in. And it's always the white collar people who pull the strings straight away.
Always has been. Let me give you a simpler example, and this is also for the village folks in Punjab. So Punjab ਚ ਜਦੋਂ ਵੀ ਕੋਈ ਨਾ ਕਬੱਡੀ ਟੂਰਨਾਮੈਂਟ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਹੋਵੇ, ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਹੋਵੇ,
ਹਾਂਜੀ
ਹੁਣ ਤਾਂ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਹਿ ਲਈਏ ਵੀ YouTube ਤੇ ਇੰਟਰਨੈਟ ਤੇ ਹਰ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਨਾ ਉਹ ਲਾਈਵ ਬ੍ਰੌਡਕਾਸਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਚੀਜ਼ ਦਾ ਖਿਆਲ ਰੱਖਿਓ ਵੀ ਨੋਟਿਸ ਕਰਿਓ ਸਟੇਜ ਤੇ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਬੰਦੇ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਆ,
ਹਾਂਜੀ
ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਸਟੇਜ ਤੇ ਉੱਕਾ ਹੀ ਕੋਈ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ। ਇੱਕ ਚੀਫ ਗੈਸਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਊ, ਇੱਕ ਦੋ ਹੋ ਜਾਣਗੇ ਆਰਗੇਨਾਈਜ਼ਰ ਹੋ ਜਾਣਗੇ, ਚਲੋ ਲਾਗੇ ਪਿਛਾਗੇ ਪਿੰਡਾਂ ਦੇ ਕੋਈ ਸਰਪੰਚ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਕੋਈ ਬਿਠਾ ਲਿਓ, ਹੱਦੋਂ ਹੱਦ 10 ਜਾਂ 15 ਬੰਦੇ ਹੋਣਗੇ। ਸਟੇਜ ਉੱਤੇ ਪੈਰ ਰੱਖਣ ਨੂੰ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੀ, ਹਰ ਕੋਈ ਚਾਹੁੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਸਟੇਜ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਬੈਠਾ। ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਸਟੇਜ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਕੁਰਸੀ 'ਤੇ ਬਹਿ ਕੇ ਪਤਾ ਕੀ ਕਰਨਗੇ?
ਹਾਂਜੀ
ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਫੋਨ ਲਾਉਣਗੇ, ਆਪਣੇ ਦੋਸਤਾਂ ਫੋਨ, ਦੇਖੀ ਤਾਂ ਮੇਰੀ ਫੋਟੋ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ। So
ਜੀ
this is the thing I'm talking about. People want to have recognition without the achievement. I'm a Sikh, my ancestors made achievement, so I'm going to live off that today in the 21st century.
In the West, it's a bit different. I'm a Sikh, I'm like Ravi Singh, now please open your legs for me.
Not too sure about how that works, but I don't know.
I think what you really need to consider down here is that the past glory is only valid if you're building up to it in today's time. The brainless dramas, the charades you're enacting really don't build up to it. And that's why you're seeing there's this massive erosion, isn't it? The whole dynamic in society all over the place is beginning to erode quite massively. I mean, I've seen this personally myself. Anmol came onto that history episode and said how Gurdwaras back in the day used to have vichars, you know, young men and women sitting separately in Guru Maharaj's presence, debating and discussing and, you know, conversing about the latest matters or what the Panth needs to do, what it doesn't need to do, you know. And this was the breeding ground for our intellectuals, our leaders, our warrior commanders as well, right? And now what you have, you don't have that vichar anyway. Everyone just runs after the latest Babaji Nartark or anyone who looks like Pannu in the first place. But everyone wants a part of that old glory. No one wants to build up to it. That's what I think sometimes. Like, you know, one day I saw a picture of this Jathedar during the British era. Used to support the Babbar Akalis. My forefathers were in that movement. And they sculpt him. The British sculpt him, right? When I saw that picture, I was thinking, what would happen to me if someone came and did that to me? And I took this picture to the Neo Khalistani Lord in the Gurdwara and asked them that, what would you do if this happened to you? None of them had a reply. These are the same people who would be slapping their chests every June saying, we will go and die for the common Panth. But none of them had a reply. What are you going to do? In a cold, calculated way, if you're finally caught and trapped and there is nowhere else to go.
If the time demands you get educated, you gain power, why are your achievements? Either you have a business or you reach a position in politics or in some economic field or some scientific field, are you really going to say, I'm just going to swing my sword?
See, what's interesting is that if you look at Sikh history fully, Nawab Kapoor Singh and Baba Banda Singh used to send all these refugees into other lands. They used to set up businesses and convert the eminent and the powerful to Sikhi, and then they used to raise money and send it back to Punjab to finance their struggles, even in terms of men and material. But that's a part of history that's been forgotten. People really think that the deus ex machina of divine intervention is going to furnish 96 million mehangs raining down from the clouds, like little subunits just rolling out like Optimus Prime and just fighting and killing the enemy with their swords.
960 million.
Oh, okay. So they have increased it. And
no, the old also there's been the switch. Shanmay Crore is 960 million.
Oh, okay. I mean, so when they say 96 million, they're off by 100, but that's all good. So another thing that needs to be seen down here is that there is a bridge here. Like, if you look at this, the same low IQ tendencies permeate the diaspora, right? Especially in terms of the fact, so okay, you got this rebel Punjabi, comes over from India, hates Gore because of decolonization or whatever rubbish they feed them. I mean, if you're stupid, dumb, and neglected, then congratulations, you can get a career in intersectionality studies, gender studies, and you know, decolonization, and live off the welfare state. And hates Gore, but still want to be boyfriends with Gorya. So you tie your guti to the back and little jura, put on a do-rag, trim your beard, pierce your ears. No, I'm giving an example. And you walk in like act all tough, you know. You can't be bothered going to the gym or learning how to fight like your ancestors because you're a bit of a fat ass. You're too scared. You're gonna get hurt. You're gonna go around talking about racism. You're gonna wear clothes like, you know, Tupac's laundry got, you know, the laundry he probably binned. That's the sort of clothes they wear. You're gonna act all tough and like a hoodlum. You don't want to talk to anyone. You're gonna have that, you know, ripped collared jacket. You're gonna have ripped jeans. You're gonna make a fucking spectacle out of yourself. And at the most, if you do ever aim for a higher education that is worth it, you're gonna do a marketing degree, right? And from
no there stems.
On, pardon?
No stems? No STEM fields?
No STEM fields. Because, you know, capitalism is bad and materialism is bad. And then from there, you're going to start listening to Sidhu Moosewala songs. One of the things a person pointed out to me was Sidhu Moosewala ghettoized the modern Jut into the modern Afro-American. Because here's the thing. The rebellion of stupidity, as our Punjabis are doing today, you know, we're going to cut ourselves off from society. That's what they're saying, right? Because society is bad, etc., etc. Not knowing that you need to use society against society itself to be able to dominate it. That's exactly what the Afro-Americans are doing at the moment, right? Their regression and Punjabi regression is the same. And then you see that there's this like a subtle interconnection here. Let's call it the Brampton syndrome, because this is really big in Brampton. So the Brampton syndrome is that if the Afro-Americans can claim their victims, if they can use cancel culture, well, hey, what are Punjabis waiting for? Why don't we also become the newest Afro-Americans?
In what way?
So starting from dress to the type of music, to the emphasis on gang life, to the emphasis on music, to the emphasis on all this pseudo-academia, which has no fucking contribution to modern life in any way or form. It's basically this optimization of your status as a victim that you're not going to change your weaknesses, but they have to change their attitude towards you and respect you for your weaknesses while you persecute them for their strengths.
The news just came yesterday that 228, I think this is the number, people were arrested for car theft, and there was a large number of Punjabis, of course, Jats, involved in there, including young Sikh women.
Why wouldn't it be? Look, tell me, why wouldn't it be? You come to the West. Okay, look, let's just say your parents come to the West. They're illiterate. They have dreams for you, right? You go and do a stupid fucking degree in marketing or, you know, some dumbass other low-paying degree, and you don't get a job, right? You don't get a job at all. So what you do is you turn to a life of crime because that's what you want to do anyway. And that continues. The parents are slaving away. Like, okay, so the parents come slave away, send money back to the bank, they pay off their loans. Then they start paying all that money to their village family down there, which they don't need to. The village family becomes lazy. Their kids get hooked onto drugs because they don't have any meaning in their lives. You guys down here are crying state oppression, but sending money back to the family in Punjab anyway. Your kids are becoming isolated. Your kids are becoming alone. They are falling into the wrong sangat. The Gurdwara Pais are number one fuddus anyway. That's what kids are saying nowadays anyhow, because these, you know, Pais aren't really doing their prachar. The boomers running the Gurdwara do not want any of the old vichar sangat coming in. And then what you have is this cultural regression straight away. And then, you know, you see all these parents all the time. You're pata nahi bache ke dard bigad gaye. Well, fuck, it's right in front of you.
Achita bahut zor laya.
Yeah, ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਜੋਰ ਬਸ ਦੋਏ ਪਾਸੇ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਗਿਆ, ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਪਿਛਵਾੜਾ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਵੱਲ ਰਿਹਾ, ਬਸ ਹੁਣ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਪਿਛਵਾੜਾ ਪਾੜ ਗਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਵੀ ਪਾਟਣਾ ਹੀ ਆ।
Yeah, man, unfortunate reality it is today.
It's this ghettoization, like that's what it is, a ghettoization, and that's where they end up spoiling all the wrong causes being looked at as trash. You know, people look at them as trash. All this loud music, all this loud shit, you're playing right into the hands of Western conservatives who want you gone from the country in the first place, right? They want you gone. If Trudeau doesn't win, do you really think Perry Poliver is going to have any mercy on Sikhs in Canada?
I'm not sure about what his politics are, so I can't say much about it.
From the sounds of it, but you know, the thing is, where I live, the Hindus here have these, like, they have one temple and they have bus services bringing everyone from all over the city to this temple, right? There isn't a siapa like having four gurdwaras on one street. They have a collective money gathering initiative and they sponsor every political party during the elections. So all the parties are running to them to make pro-Hindu policies. Our Sikhs have four gurdwaras on one street. Langar needs to have paneer. Some guy had a birthday party and he came and gave 28 chairs for the gurdwara for senior citizens to sit down on. It's been a month. The chairs have all disappeared from the gurdwara. And these are the people who are going around trying to, you know, bring all these politicians to the gurdwara. Politicians announce all these pro-Sikh policies, and then they take them inside their rooms and they're like, oh, you know what, maybe don't do this. Please don't do this, because they're going to exploit the sentiments of the community further, get the community killed, get the community impoverished. Bang, end of story. And any young person who stands up is going to get blacklisted in India straight away.
That's something I don't understand how it happens. You know, sometimes you just fly in and they will bar you from entering the country. Maybe they will arrest you, but I'm not too sure how this entire things work.
The common factor seems to be that they mess with the wrong people. So either they end up messing with these so-called self-proclaimed Khalistanis who seem to be playing a double game, or, you know, it's usually starting from the Gurdwaras, the Gurdwara Pardans in the first place. Why wouldn't it be a Gurdwara Pardan with zero qualifications whose daughters are famous for selling their bodies on OnlyFans, whose son is outside smoking all the time? None of them are working there on welfare, having 2-3 properties worth millions. We all know where the money's coming from.
We know. True.
Gurdwara Pardans getting caught for electoral fraud, getting banned from all government jobs for the rest of their lives, their resume being rejected by private firms after seeing their police criminal records, still having multiple properties worth millions and increasing their property portfolios. We all know where the money is coming from.
True.
Right. So the essential thing down here is that these people, see, I mean, if you look at it, I think the Beant Singh policy and the KPS Gill policy was to make the Sikhs the Afro-Americans of India, and they succeeded beyond any doubt. The Afro-American community, if you look at, you know, the slaves who Sherman Grant freed. You know, Grant, when he became president, always used to invite Afro-Americans and Native Americans into the White House and tell them, look, we're here to stay. You guys need to upgrade yourself while, you know, always retaining your traditions. And that's what they're focused on. You look at the legacy of those generations and you look at Afro-Americans and Native Americans today, you see they have relapsed far below the limit that was ever set for them. You look at Sikhs, we are going to get there in two generations.
If somebody asks you, how tall are you? Are you going to say my grandfather was 6'2"?
No, I'm going to tell them how tall I was.
Yeah, but for that, you need to be living in today, not in the past.
That's right. I mean, the thing is, Afro-Americans have food stamps and food banks. Sikhs have langar. That's the only difference. Otherwise, I don't see much difference between them. All this gangster lifestyle, this rebellion. I mean, come on, you're a fucking joke. You know, that's what it is. That's what I always say. You're a fucking joke in the durek. Can't put a pug on your head. Can't keep the dari fully, and all you have is that little kanda hanging on your neck, and you're like, yo, look at me, maybe Sangha. Oh, fuck off, man.
Well, you can't go to the club and drink while having a bug on, so, you know, gotta take care of my needs.
Sikhi is a journey. I'll get there one day. Well, you're gonna get there one day.
That one day never arrives, mate.
That one day never arrives. And the interesting thing is they're like, oh, Uncle G, why are you telling us all these things? You know, and then you see them during June. Here's another interesting thing. Every community that has been wronged is actively working along what we see as the ANC model, the African National Congress model. Those guys used Israel, you know, to gather all their weapons and everything. They're reaching out politically. they're reaching out financially. They have financial domination. They have political domination. They have intellectual domination. All we have is, hey, it's June. Here's a poster. Aaloji jalebi, aaloji langar. And we have invited. They're not coming. They don't give a fuck about us. They're not coming. But we have specifically invited them to come over, that if you come over to the Gurdwara, you will get votes from us. Inderjeet Singh, who was the, I think he was the defense minister of Canada. Am I right? His name was Inderjeet Singh?
Oh, Harjeet Singh Sajjan, you mean?
Yeah, Sajjan, damn. Why am I thinking Inderjeet? These Canadians, they all look the same. Anyhow, Sajjan is the defense minister, right?
Yeah.
Our people have invited him to Gurdwaras for, you know, the 84 June, because he's a Sikh anyway, observances. And they tell him, look, a lot of votes are linked on this issue. And he asks them, well, what do you expect me to do? Right? What do you want me to do? The man goes to India, gets a guard of honor, talks what his government wants him to talk about, comes back, and our people start headhunting him.
Before he even went there, they were like, okay, a Sikh has been elected or, you know, put in the position of a defense minister of Canada. The Indians are hating him. I say, no, they are not. They were celebrating somebody else's personal achievement as the achievement of the Sikh nation.
And then the interesting thing is, like, you know, even Jagmeet and the others have won, and they're like, hey, you need to renounce all these sanctions. You need to do that. The thing is, nations listen to nations.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Israel assassinated people on foreign soil, and all Israel's done is cooperated, apologized after a time, and that's it? No, everyone's forgotten about it until the next assassination. Nothing has happened at all. And our people need to understand that unless they have the financial dominance, unless they have those high players, highly educated leaders in the community, no one gives a damn about a few truck drivers. We get angry, we do morche, the cops come out. I mean, okay, look at the UK, look at the US. The Muslims are protesting worldwide, and the whole world is turning against them over the Palestine issue. And despite the fact they're protesting in every American city, American naval destroyers are backing Israel at the moment. None of the Arab states are actually fighting for Palestine at the moment.
No, they're just giving some statements and that's it.
If you think you're going to protest, you're going to remind the West of its history of free speech, etc., it's not going to work. It's not a numbers game anymore. It's an influence game. And as a minority, you should be more than capable of driving that change if you got a brain. And that's why I'm saying, your kids don't listen to you. Slap the fuckers. Get them into a good job. Get them a good life. Get them somewhere influential for the community. I mean, I recently got a message, Bhai Sab, what do we do about this Gurdwara situation? Our Pradhan isn't letting the kids get a gym. And I told them, you go, all of you get together, 20 and 40 of you, go and publicly ask the Pradhan for a gym. They went and said that. The Pradhan said no. These kids decided to boycott the Gurdwara. They finally started fighting with their families, threatening to run away from their homes. The family stopped going to the Gurdwara. Then their friends stopped going to the Gurdwara. These kids all planned it out for 3 months. None of them went to the Gurdwara. Finally, the Pradhan relented and got them that gym straight away, seeing the money in the gold. They used the Pradhan's own greed against the Pradhan. Pardon?
Did they force the Pradhan to resign or not?
He's about to resign. That was their next step, and this is what they said to me. You guys have this unity among you. If you guys are all like-minded, why can't you do that? Why do you guys always think that you can't do anything? I mean, you're a minority, for fuck's sake. Minorities are always stronger than majorities. Look at who you're descended from. 40 of your forefathers took on a horde of fucking Muggles and Hindus and mashed them into little pieces. And here you guys are asking us for advice on how to do all this, you know? And now these kids have Vichar classes and Gurdwaras. They're slowly getting there. They have that spirit. They have that passion. Give it 10 years, politicians will come to them in Gurdwaras and say, okay, what does the Sikh community need from us? Please tell us.
I think that's the way political power works anyhow. That's just basic common sense.
It is basic common sense. I mean, some of these millionaires overseas, Aussie people, if they're contributing to political parties and say, okay, we're not even giving you $1, watch how the politicians come running to them. But at the same time, make your demands realistic rather than, hey, we want you to nuclear bomb India. Because these breads and circuses, let the, you know, the fresh off the boat people indulge in them. Let them, they don't really have the IQ capability anymore. This is what I've seen in Punjab. We were trying to set up a charitable initiative for the Punjab, and the Granthi told us straight away, why are people converting to Christianity? For Krapana, right? That guy's become a Christian and got a motorbike. I'm going to become a Christian and get a motorbike, right? Sikh Prachar is in their terrain and people, so that's what they've been doing. My dad's going to commit suicide in Punjab because he sent me to Canada after selling his land, and now the bank is trying to sell our house. Well, who cares? My neighbor came to Canada. I also wanted to come to Canada. This sort of fukra pana is dividing the society. And when it comes and breeds in the West, it is producing all this ghettoization among Sikhs as well. Right? I mean, we once went pig hunting with a local Nihanga. And he got a gun and gave it to a boy. And this kid always listens to songs like and all that sort of rubbish. And he's like, okay, you go kill the pig. Kid pissed his pants, couldn't do it. And the Nyang just kept on harassing him. You know, we were deep in the woods, and the Nyang's like, and there's this kid getting scared and trembling and crying and screaming and shouting. Deep in the woods, he could have shouted all he wanted. No one would have heard him in the first place. But you could see suddenly all that, you know, all that macho attitude melt away straight away. You know, I mean, agli tera mandi nahi hai, tu oda pind phokan nu phirda phir jaake jadon te koi tenu goli goli maar mur dau oda pind wala baad je tere maape ronde phiroge hai nahi sada putta bahut badhiya si oh kalathani ne mera putt pat chhadya
nahi ye sarkara hi maadiyan hai
ਸਰਕਾਰਾਂ ਆਹ ਜੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਸਰਕਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੜਾ ਦਬਾਅ ਹੈ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਪੁੱਤ ਕਿਉਂ ਕੰਜਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਿੰਡ 'ਚ ਮਰਿਆ ਪਰ ਕਿਤੇ ਨਾ ਕਿਤੇ ਸਰਕਾਰ ਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਸੂਰ ਹੈਗਾ
ਨਹੀਂ ਸਰਕਾਰ ਨੌਕਰੀ ਦੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੀ ਫਿਰ ਸਾਡਾ ਪੁੱਤ ਨੌਕਰੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਕੁੜੀਆਂ ਮਾਰ ਕਾਤੇ ਜਾਂਦਾ
ਜੀ ਸਰਕਾਰ ਸਾਡੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਘਰ ਸਾਡੇ ਡਾਂਗ ਡਾਂਗ ਇੱਕ ਵਾਰੀ ਚਾੜ ਦੀ ਕਿ ਆਪਣੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਪੜ੍ਹਾਓ ਤਾਂ ਦੇਖੋ ਸਾਡਾ ਪੁੱਤ ਕਿੱਦਾਂ ਅੱਜ ਜੀਂਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ
ਸੈਲਫ ਅਕਾਊਂਟੇਬਿਲਿਟੀ ਵੈਲ ਪਰਸਨਲ ਰਿਸਪੋਨਸਿਬਿਲਿਟੀ ਵਾਟਸ ਦੈਟ
That's what the way of Sikhi starts with responsibility, and not I'm going to go and open my legs for the latest white guilt trend, Palestine solidarity with Khalistan Jindabad. I mean, the stupidity you see is that a nationless Qom about to be finished off in its own homeland fighting for two fucking countries who don't even care about them. Both of them celebrated Blue Star. And man, I love the hypocrisy. Israel-trained commanders for Operation Blue Star. We're going to oppose them. We're going to ignore that Arafat and the Palestinians celebrated Blue Star. And even today, they're one of India's main partners. And then, oh, but we know that the UK also supported Operation Blue Star. But Goraji, humko ye sanu please de do UK the citizenship.
As to say, if you don't support the Palestinians, or let's say Hamas, the correct word to use here, you're not a Sikh.
Yeah, performative solidarity, and this coming from people who sit in their offices all day long fighting and aren't even going to fight on the front lines.
Nah, bro. My battlefield is digital.
You know what's funny? When, like, I got a message from them, oh, you Sikh Renaissance fuckers think you're so great, you know? At least we are raising our voices. It's like, okay, and I was like, okay, yeah, yeah, that's good. You're raising your voices. How long have you been raising your voices for? How long has this grassroots activism been happening in the West? You guys have been doing your fucking grassroots activism for 40 years. The Pai Chara lot have been doing this for 50 years. India drops a Sikh abroad. No one gives a shit.
If, let's say, the neighboring people, let's say the neighboring Arab countries in that part of the world, if they are not doing anything active to support them, what does that tell you?
One of the latest articles we wrote on the Sikh Renaissance, and we are taking pledges if you do want to donate to us to keep us going. One of the articles, like recently written, actually mentions this in the first place, that they argue that Guru Granth Sahib is the Jagat Guru, right?
Yeah.
So if Guru Granth Sahib is the Jag, the Guru, then why the fuck is the Jag not waking up to protect itself? Why is it expecting Sikhs to die for it if the Jag, the Guru, is teaching the same thing to everyone?
Well, do they accept it to be a Jagat Guru?
It's one of the hypocrisies. It's like this, when you tell a leftist, hey, these are the sins of the left. Hey, well, that wasn't left enough. What is left enough?
Doesn't it sound like a Bollywood one-sided love story?
It usually is. And I think it all starts from the fact we have lost. I mean, what is Sikhi now? Paneer and langar and we die for others. Paneer and langar and we die for others. Where is the profound vichar which accompanies Sikhi? I mean, where? See, they, in the 80s, they burnt the Guru Granth Sahib. Have any of our idiots ever thought about going to the Gurdwara when no one is there, sitting on the tabia and reading from Maharaj to see what Maharaj says that pisses the world off so much? Where that spirit of rebellion comes from in the words of Guru Nanak, how that makes us rebels? Has anyone ever considered reading Gurbani and seeing how life-changing it is that the world wants to destroy your identity because of Gurbani? So why not read Gurbani and confirm to it as the greatest act of rebellion?
Well, you're asking too much.
And this is where I'm saying, let the majority do what they want to do. Let them do it. The minority should rise and start manipulating people for their own good.
You got to become a good person to begin with. Whichever country you live in, be a good citizen, be a protective citizen. Educate yourself, educate your family, guide your kids. Yeah?
Yeah, obviously.
Become successful in your life, whether you start a business or you maybe start working for somebody or something. Are you into politics or into science, into sports, whatever? And then you can say, okay, I am achieving something. Now, what can I do for my people? You will have a better understanding of the world. Your brain will be more empowered, dare I use that word. And that's the way to do things, now. Huh? Yelling and sending hate mail and hate comment on other people's posts is not going to do it.
It's never going to change anything. And you and me have seen this over the past 20, 30 years. Today it's the referendum. Before it was something else. Before it was something else. Before it was something else. It's always ended in a disaster. And if anyone benefits, it's the Punjabi music industry, where they release diss tracks for the next 20 years on how our leadership sold us out again and again.
Okay, a king has many responsibilities, and one of them, and I think this is of the utmost importance, is to find a suitable successor.
Right, yep.
Do you think if a king decides that maybe my nephew, or let's say somebody in the extended royal family, is more suitable or is more capable of running the state than my own children, would the king do it?
100%.
Or maybe his own children would kill him to get the throne through succession.
It can go either way. Depends on how proactive the king is in addressing dangers. It's not about addressing dangers to himself, but his vision and his achievements, preserving those.
So if you are in a position of power, do you think you are loyal to your family, or are you loyal to the cause for which that entire structure stands for? If you are a king, your loyalty is to your country first, not to your own family.
See, effective businesses today follow the old military rule. It's a mission-centric organization which always survives and adapts and thrives, and not a leadership-centric organization.
I had read a few months ago about how adult adoption is common in Japan, yeah?
Yep.
So if you have a very capable person working for your company, you could legally adopt that person. They will adopt your surname, and then the line of succession will continue. You are not related by blood.
Well, that's right. And you see this among Sikhs as well. I mean, if you look at it, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji gets home. And his wife, I believe her name was also Mata Nanki, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji's wife. Yes. And mm-hmm. she asks him, she's like, Sache Patra, how come the grandson has been made the seventh Guru and none of the sons? And Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji tells her, do you think any of them are ready at the moment?
Hmm.
Right? Guru Harai decides to give Gurgaddi to Guru Har Krishan and not Baba Ramra. Guru Har Krishan has this massive pull and decides to give it to Guru Tegh Bahadur, and Guru Tegh Bahadur goes and gives it to Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Guru Gobind Singh Ji decides to give it to the Panth and the Granth. Right after that, let's come down now. Jathedar Baba Jassa Singh Ji Aluwalia, he had two daughters when he got them married, and these were the most beautiful women in Punjab at the time. They were battle tested, they were veterans of the Vadda Kalukara. Even his son-in-laws, they weren't like any normal people. They had a lot of achievements under them, right? Still decides to give his nephew, I believe, Fateh Singh Aluwalia, control of everything.
Yeah.
Right? The most capable person.
We all know what happened to the successor of Ranjit Singh. Man, I can't pronounce the word successor or succession for some reason.
We all know what happened down there. We can see that. And then you look at it down here, the Singh Sabha Leher, Professor Gurmukh Singh goes and hands it all over to Gyani Dit Singh. Like, Dit Singh, you're one of the best people I know, despite Pai Khan Singh Ji Nabba being down there. Right?
Yeah.
Pai Gurdas Ji writes in his Kabit Savaiye that the Guru's primary aim in life was always to make the Sikh like the Guru, to have the same virtues before the Forbes start cutting this out and harassing us again. But it was always to make the Sikhs similar to the Guru in terms of virtues. The Gurus never cared about their children. They weren't obsessed with their children. If the kids had to go, they had to go. Why, Sikha, do you care about your family?
Hmm.
I have this habit, which I encourage all people to take. I go to the Gurdwara in the afternoon and sit down on the tabi and start reading Guru Granth Sahib Ji. And yesterday I got this Shabad from Guru Arjan that the Sadh Sangat is the medium to becoming Jeevan Mukt, liberated from your vices. Tanasri Mahalla Panjma. Underneath was Bhakt Kabir, that the greatest fear is of death, do not fear death. And then comes Bhakt Namdev's Shabad. These are all related. There is a content, right? This is what is to be reflected on in the satsangha. Bhakt Namdev is saying, read the Bible, read the Quran, read the Hindu scriptures. None of them are going to liberate you. They're all rubbish. The love of the mother, the father, the children, it's all rubbish. Really harsh words when you love your family. But you need to realize that the virtues your family have originate from Vaheguru. So then your family is just a physical body. Now, you know, remember when you get angry at your family, do you love them then? You forget all about it straight away.
People abandon their families, they just run away. Some right? people do that.
Definitely. And then after that, you again have a Shabad of Guru Arjan rounding it all off, that the cause is more important than the personality.
Okay. We're nearing the end of our podcast. A very important question for you.
Yep.
Is true knowledge destined for the masses?
No, no, definitely not. They can't digest it.
So would that come back to the first point we discussed, why people in Punjab are not very educated?
At an individual level, I think they lack the tendency, the coherence, the ambition to better themselves.
Do you think that if there's a young kid who has that ambition, his ambition is quashed by his own parents, his own family, and the society he lives in?
100%, 100%. I mean, the only ambition they have, the only education they want is an IELTS education.
If let's say it's a 16-year-old kid or a girl, yeah?
Yep.
So she says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to maybe study, I don't know, chemical engineering or something.
Right.
They might say, There's no need to do that. Just pass your graduation or something. We'll get married and you'll move to Canada or America or Australia or somewhere.
No, they will discourage you straight away.
Yeah, straight away. It happens. I've seen it.
We have all experienced it as well. I mean, we've all seen it and we've all experienced it as well. One of our Singhs recently got married to a Gori for exactly the same reason. He doesn't trust Punjabna anymore.
Bro, that's an entirely different topic, man. It's downright scary, I tell you.
Right. There is a Shabad from the Guru Granth Sahib, right? Jag kawa naam na jeet, right? Naam bisre girdekho batit. The masses are but like the crow, unable to comprehend divine wisdom. Foregoing divine wisdom, they peck at trivial baits. It's from Ang 1187, if anyone wants to check it out. But straight away, Gurbani is telling you that the masses are pretty stupid. Collective stupidity. You need to manipulate them for their own good. That's why when they choose a leader, remember, leadership is always in a minority. It's not in a majority.
True.
Right? So, yes, we were kings, and now we have been devolved into clowns. But there is still a way around this. There is still a way around this. Our best generations might have been killed, but we can become even better. All we need to do is set our foot straight and start operating within the manipulative structures we have and manipulate people for the greater good.
We could do, okay. Something like, let's say, a good service in an appropriate place will do more per jar than millions pumped into telling tall tales.
100%. If you think about it, Guru Gobind Singh Ji and all the gurus before him used to have these vichartara and gurdwaras. They used to have texts like the Arthashastra, all these political histories. What do you think they were doing with these texts?
They were studying them, of course.
100%. But then why now have we stopped altogether?
No, man, all I need is to be able to sing, to dance, and to drink, and probably to some extent fight, and that's good enough for me.
Some tractor stumps?
Included, yes. Not just that. Anything could be making stupid reels or putting stupid statuses on WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram and stuff.
As long as it doesn't involve any responsibility.
Well, my Snapchat streak is more important to me than my education, so there you go.
The change can only come from a minority. The kids I've told you about, I'm not going to disclose their location any further. If 40 of those kids could get together and drive a change, so can you. Change needs to come, but it needs to come from within us. I mean, it's pretty easy to say this is hukam, this is that, but no, that's not reality. If you want to live up to the glories of your forefathers and claim, hey, I'm a Sikh because this is what my forefathers did, then you also need to be able to do the same and leave a similar legacy for your kids who can say that, hey, I'm a Sikh because this is what my generation of forefathers did. Change can only come from you. Remember, aisi kala na khediye jit dar gaye jaiye haar. And this is exactly what we need to be planning for, that we don't end up being the losers again this time around.
True.
Right? Personal responsibility, high education, refinement within society. We need to dominate society from the inside, because otherwise, if you're confronting it from the outside, it's going to do no good at all. The external enemy can always be fended off. It's the internal blow which is the hardest to resist.
Yep.
Do you know how the Emperor took over the galaxy in Star Wars?
Emperor Palpatine?
Yep.
Not too sure, man.
He won the Supreme Chancellor vote, and then he took over as Supreme Chancellor.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. So do it from the inside. Any last words?
Oh, I'm just going to go outside. I took some time off for this podcast. I'm going to go back to harvesting, and it's going to be a busy week for me.
Thank you very much. And please don't do stupid tractor stunts. Don't follow people like Jyoti K on Instagram who are saying we need to update the Guru Granth Sahib. Always pursue a Sikh first, seek dominance, seek supremacy policy. Remember, you need to get somewhere higher up in influential position to do something for your calm. Otherwise, you're just going to be ripping flags up, and that's not going to get you anywhere. It didn't get you anywhere in the last 40 years. It isn't going to get you anywhere now. Use your brains. It's counterproductive. Use your brains. God gave you a brain for a reason. That's all for today. Thank you very much for listening to us. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa. Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.